Most respected ulama ikram, brothers and elders, in terms of our salah, so the first salah is known to us, it's the two rakats of Fajr, that's farz, the four rakats of Zuhr, that's farz, and likewise in Asr, the four rakats, in Maghrib, the three rakats, and in Isha, the four rakats. This is what's compulsory. But before the fara'is, apart from Maghrib Salah, because Asr is so close to it in any case, before all the rest of the Salah, there is what we know as the Sunnats, Sunnat Qabliya. They are the Sunnat Salats that are performed before the Farz. Then the Sunnat Salats performed after the Farz as well. Apart from Asr and Fajr, but in Zuhr, Maghrib, Isha, the sunnahs performed after as well. Then obviously in order for that salah to be valid, there's also wudu before it. So there's so many things preceding the actual farz. And all these aspects, the sunnahs, etc., and now the person will come to the masjid to perform the first salah, he will come and he will wait. And while he's waiting, in the hadith sharif, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, that a person who is waiting for salah, he is as if he is in salah. And he is receiving the blessings and rewards of salah. So now all this is impacting on him, cleansing his heart. Then eventually he gets into that fard. And now he performs that four rakats, he performs that two rakats. But all this that happened before, every step that he took to the masjid in the state of wudu, one sin got forgiven, one reward got written for him, one stage got elevated of his, all this was adding some value to him for his farz. Finally, he now came to perform that farz, and he completed that obligation that Allah Ta'ala put upon him. So it wasn't just that farz that was now enough, but all these things had to be done in order to add value to it. And together with that, if there was some deficiency, and we are also deficient. So these sunnats that we perform before, we perform after, which all have been taught to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, all these are means of making up for the deficiency in the farz. The farz is the main thing. That's the most important aspect. And that is what's required to the highest level. But now we are so weak and so deficient. So before also we've been taught things to be done. Maybe thought things to be done after as well. After the salah, there are azkar and tasbihat and various amal. All this lends towards perfecting that salah itself. So this is what we can see very, very clearly in salah. Likewise, in zakat, one is the farz, what a person has to fulfill. But there's so many sadaqat and nafil, charities, etc. All this lends weight to that farz itself. In terms of any deficiency, the manner something happened, the quality of that niyat, all this lends to fulfilling that and making up that deficiency. So all the amal have something that adds to the value of it, helps a person to clean up before it, helps a person to make up for the deficiencies after it. So likewise, the month of Ramadan, which is on our doorstep, Allah Ta'ala has blessed us with the month of Sha'ban, which is like the sunnat qabliya, like the sunnats that precede the farz salah. The month of Sha'ban is in that category. And it is meant to prepare us for the Mubarak month of Ramadan. Unfortunately, this is taken just as something that comes and goes, but that focus and that benefit that we should be taking in terms of preparation for the Mubarak month of Ramadan, that is seldom done. Few and far between. So this Mubarak month of Sha'ban, this is also a very great month. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha says, I never saw him fast any month for the entire month. Except the month besides Ramadan, apart from Ramadan, there was no other month that I saw Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam fast from beginning to end, except the month of Sha'ban. Though for the Ummat, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said the second half of Sha'ban, somebody is not used to fasting excessively, he should not fast. so that he remains strong for the month of Ramadan. Meaning all this again, the concern, the month of Ramadan. This is a very, very great moment. Person is getting married, you see the excitement building up as the days and moments tick closer. The excitement builds up. Some people say they're getting more worried, Allah knows why. But generally this is the case, that as the moments tick, now the person is getting more excited. Forget getting married, which is mashallah, a great sunnat of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. Person going for a small holiday somewhere, he can't contain his excitement. As the days get drawn near, just for that one small weekend he's going, and that to Allah forbid sometimes where he might go, and what he might end up doing there, and how he might end up harming his iman. But as that day is drawing close, his excitement knows no bounds. Now for that little holiday, the excitement knows no bounds. His father promised him, he's going to buy him now his first car, and on certain date, he's, as that day is coming, he can't wait for it. It's just now getting too long. And for every other thing, he's building his house, and now the day has come now and is about to come to its completion and he can move in. His excitement knows no bounds. He started off something, some business, and that is now to be launched. As it's going to get launched, his excitement knows everything else. Our excitement knows no bounds. But the month of Ramadan is approaching, and well, it'll come. When it comes, we'll see. At the most now, somebody, well, okay, which masjid I'm going to go for Taraweeh to? Alhamdulillah, that's a good thing as well. But that enthusiasm, that zeal, that excitement, that real feeling, that passion, and this is something that we are supposed to be having, because this is what Rasulullah s.a.w. has taught us through a dua, the dua that we hear after the first salah, which was actually recited on the sighting of the moon of Rajab 2 months prior. Allahumma barik lana fi Rajab wa Sha'ban wa ballighna Ramadan. Allah, enable us to reach Ramadan. Now this great enthusiasm, zeal. And when it was about Ramadan, about to dawn, and the eve of Ramadan, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam addressed the Sahaba Ikram, Atakum Shahrun Azeem. Do you know what has come? Atakum Shahrun Azeem. A great month has come, like you're giving somebody a tremendous glad tiding. You know what you just got? Do you realize what you just, what just has come to you? Atakum Shahrun Azeem. Shahrun Mubarak. Shahrun Fihi Laylatun Khayrun Min Alfi Shahr. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam addressed the Sahaba in such words that highlight the greatness of this moment. Now we are approaching that Mubarak time. And in order to truly benefit from that, Allah Ta'ala blessed us with this month of Shaban. And apart from that, this month now becomes a means of a person really focusing and beginning to start building up the momentum of tilawat, of nawafil salah, of dua, various amal. Together with that, Allah Ta'ala blessed us with this month of Shaban, and in the month of Shaban, that middle night of Shaban, Laylatul Nisfi min Shaban, Laylatul Bara'a. Now there's various virtues which we will have heard and will hear again inshallah in the Jummah, etc. And the greatness of this night. But one very significant aspect, if you look at the ahadith that relate to the virtues and the greatness of this night, on the one side, it highlights what tremendous benefit and greatness there is in this. Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness, and how many people, countless people get forgiven. But then if you look at the same ahadith, there's something else also in it. That while the virtues are being highlighted, in the same breath, there are the exceptions mentioned also. That those who get deprived, and if you look at the list of those who are deprived, then it is by and large all related to the dirt of the heart. By and large, it is related to the dirt of the heart that deprives a person from the greatness of this Mubarak night. In one hadith, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, إِلَّا لِمُشْرِكٍ, the worst kind of filth that can ever be in a heart, the filth of shirk, that person is totally deprived. There's no question of gaining any drop of the rahmat of Allah Ta'ala of this night, until that shirk is wiped out. أَوْ مُشَاحٍ, the person who harbors malice, this is dirt. somebody is coming to pour zamzam, everybody's got their glass, and he's coming to pour zamzam, and he's looking into each person's cup and glass, and he sees this person's got a filthy glass. He says, zamzam, I'm going to put inside this glass of yours. I'm not going to put my zamzam in your glass. All this filth, all this dirt in your glass, and I must pour zamzam in it. Become a clean glass. So Allah Ta'ala is ready to pour this rahmat, this mercy, this blessings. From the beginning of the night, Allah Ta'ala calls out, His special mercies descend on the lowest heaven. Hal min mustaghfirin fa'aghfira lah. Hal min mustarziqin fa'arzuqa. Har min mubtalan fa'u'afiya. Hal min kada, hal min kada. Is there somebody seeking forgiveness? Somebody seeking sustenance? Somebody in a problem, I may remove the problem. Anybody with this, with that, Allah Ta'ala is calling out. But now somebody who's come with a dirty cup, say, but you go clean your cup and come first. You've come with, how are we going to pour this zamzam in here? So while on the one hand, this month of Sha'ban has come to give us this boost already, it is warm up, to get prepared for Ramadan. Not prepared only in terms of what savouries we're going to have, and prepared for what menu we are going to make up for the month of Ramadan, and what I want to have for Sehri, and what I want to have for Iftar, and then what I want to have for the late night snack. And sometimes in a normal day we have three meals. In Ramadan, what mashallah, the fast is kept. But despite the fast being kept, in the rest of the time there's four meals sometimes. So now that becomes the whole focus, and that becomes the whole discussion. So that's not the preparation for Ramadan. That is there in its place if that's going to help somebody to spend more time in ibadat. So now they're completing some preparations beforehand. Alhamdulillah, very good. If that's the intention, excellent. Or sometimes it's the jazba of khidmat. I can present my family with something better to eat. That's the barakat of Ramadan. But that's not the preparation for Ramadan. The preparation for Ramadan is now getting into the momentum of amal and getting ourselves accustomed to spending longer time in ibadat, accustomed to spending longer time in salah. Otherwise we keep looking at the time now, that yesterday the Imam Sahib finished off in 55 minutes. Today he took 57 minutes. Two more minutes he took. Now in discussing that he took two more minutes, we'll spend 12 more minutes outside talking about it. But now that 2 minutes will become intolerable. Why? Because Ramadan just came to be passed. Whereas the Salaf-e-Salihin, what was their manner of Ramadan? One is their enthusiasm. Their enthusiasm such that 6 months before Ramadan, Maymoon bin Mihran, rahimahullah, he says, the Salaf, 6 months before Ramadan, they would be making dua to Allah Ta'ala, Ya Allah, you enable us to get there. And help us to be there. And 6 months after Ramadan, they'll continue making dua, Ya Allah, you accept what happened. Such whole year rotated around Ramadan. And then how they would have applied themselves, if this was the zeal 6 months before, look at the, forget those who have passed long ago, that we can't even imagine, even people of recent times, Waqabir, Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith, Ma'a Zakariya Sahib, rahmatullahi alayhi, open the RBT and see, open his other various aspects where his biography is, etc. And how they spent Ramadan, many others. One khatam of the Quran Sharif every day was a standard thing for many, many of them. So in any case, the point again we're coming to is that one is the month of Sha'ban came to give us this boost and to spur us, to start making us become prepared, not to sit and wait for the 29th, but to already get into action. But together with that, and very, so we can call it, so to say, strategically placed. How something is very strategically placed. The 15th night of Sha'ban, just 2 weeks before Ramadan. And then what's highlighted? Don't come with dirt. Clean all the dirt out. So the month of Sha'ban has been given to us as a clean-up time. That look, you're coming for a very great occasion. Somebody comes with his dirty clothes, and he comes now to our family function, comes to our dawat. We invited some guests and invited him also, but he was coming with dirty clothes and all filth. You see him from a distance. He tells him, tell him, please go away from here. Don't come here. And if he wants to come, he must go and clean himself and come. Now he's only dirtied his clothes, but obviously that's not the right thing to do. You've got to become clean. Deen has taught us cleanliness. But you see somebody dirty, that dirt is outside, but it's on his clothes. But we can't tolerate it. The clothes are disposable. Clothes are not going to come with us in the qabr also. But the heart is going to go with us, and the heart is everything. We can't tolerate the dirt of somebody's clothes. We want Allah Ta'ala to tolerate the dirt of our hearts. So the month of Shaban, one of the highlights of the month of Shaban is a clean-up time. And this clean-up, Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran Sharif, يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالُ وَلَا بَنُونَ إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. On the day of Qiyamah, the day is such a day, لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالُ وَلَا بَنُونَ. Nobody's wealth and nobody's children are going to be of any use to him. Now these are the closest things to a person. His wealth, his children, meaning what he looks for support from. He has an issue, no, we got enough. Something happened also, no, we got enough. That's his support, his backstop. And he doesn't see anything there now, he's feeling very, very worried. But now he says, no, don't worry, everything's fine, we got enough. And I got enough children, don't worry, they all take care of me. Allah Ta'ala is saying, the day of Qiyamah, neither that wealth nor children will be of any avail. إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. Except that person who comes with a clean heart. Heart clean of shirk. Clean of all the dirt and filth. Once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked, قِيلَ مَنْ أَفْضَلُ النَّاسِ. Who is the best person? The Sahaba Ikram, you'll find so many occasions this question. Who is the best? They repeatedly asked on different occasions, in different words. The sum total of it was the same. Who is the best? Why are they asking who is the best? We want to try to be the best for what? For Allah Ta'ala. Because the best person will be the most beloved to Allah Ta'ala. Not the best for some worldly achievement. He'll get one medal, put on the wall and boast about it. And then what? What more than that? He climbed the Mount Everest. He reached the peak. After that what? That peak is not going to come anywhere when he gets in the grave. We have to reach the peak of the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. And the peak of the rewards of Akhirat. So now Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to be repeatedly asked by Sahaba. And depending on the occasion, depending on the situation, depending on the person asking, what was something needing to be highlighted at that time, various aspects were then mentioned. And all these are things, are qualities of the people who are the best. On this occasion, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when he was asked, Man afdalun nas? So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam responded and said, كل مخموم القلب صدوق اللسان. كل مخموم القلب and صدوق اللسان. So Sahaba Ikram responded and said, صدوق اللسان نعرفه. The صدوق اللسان. One is صادق. صادق, somebody who's truthful. Then in Arabic you get the مبالغة. Another form of the word which denotes intensity. One is somebody is truthful, extremely truthful. Saduqul lisan. Somebody who is extremely truthful in his word. He doesn't just make things, cut corners here and there, just now speaks things which are not correct and tries to just appease himself. But I didn't really say a lie. It was now just half and half and 50-50. In the court of Allah Ta'ala, all these things don't work. Allah Ta'ala is alimum bidhati sudur. Allah Ta'ala knows what's hidden in the heart. We can fool people, we can fool everybody sometime, maybe fool everybody all the time too if somebody has that, though that's not necessarily the case or generally not the case, but we can't fool Allah Ta'ala ever. Allah Ta'ala is all knowing and all seeing. So all these things don't work in the court of Allah Ta'ala. But Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is saying the best person, one of his characteristics, saduqul lisan, extremely truthful. Any transaction, no cutting corners and just saying it in little bit of, just covering up something. And the customer feels that, okay, everything is fine, 100%. Meanwhile, you're 99%. In some, just generalizing it in some way, we covered up the 1%. Now in our heart, we know what we're doing, but are we dealing with somebody or some other matter? Now there's some, we took our son's proposal somewhere, asked some very little bit of some tough questions. So now we just wiggled it through somehow. See, no, but I didn't really say that. I didn't really mean that. But Allah Ta'ala knows what we said and what we meant. So one is saduqul lisan. But the other thing, the Sahaba said, saduqul lisan na'arifuhu. Ma mahmumul qalb. What is this mahmumul qalb? Meaning, literally we know the meaning of mahmum, but this we didn't understand, this context. Mahmumul qalb. Now, literally mahmum comes from the word kham, khamamt. Khamamtul bayt. When somebody has swept something clean, he'll say khamamtul bayt. So now the cleanliness, clean, completely swept up, completely cleaned out of all dirt and filth. Now that's literally the meaning. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam now defined it and explained, what's mahmumul qalb? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, kullu taqiyyin naqiyyin. Mahmumul qalb is that person, kullu taqiyyin, person who has adopted taqwa. Now this is the month of Ramadan. The whole theme of Ramadan and the whole objective of Ramadan is taqwa. Already the month of Shaban is coming to give us this cleanliness, cleaning ourselves. So taqwa, obviously this is the essence of it all. The person who adopts taqwa. Kullu taqiyyin. Now taqwa in this context of this hadith sharif, we can take it to mean of the a'mal zahiri. That he, whether he is in public, whether he is in privacy, he is always conscious that what am I doing? Allah is watching. I'm in public in the presence of people also, Allah Ta'ala is watching. I'm alone, nobody else is present there, but Allah is present. Allah Ta'ala is with. Allah is observing. يَعْلَمُ خَائِنَةَ الْأَعْيُنُ مَا تُخْفِ الصُّدُورِ. He knows the deception of the eye and what the heart conceals. Where I'm looking, he is looking at me where I'm looking. I can't deceive Allah Ta'ala. I can try and deceive others. Allah Ta'ala is all-knowing. So, whether in public or whether in privacy, in all conditions, being conscious of Allah Ta'ala. And naqiyin, literally clean, meaning clean-hearted. So one is externally, the person is with taqwa. And then internally with taqwa also, his heart is clean. Clean of what? Then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam further states, la ithma fihi wa la baghya. No sin on him. Doesn't mean he cannot sin. The Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam were ma'soom. Apart from the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, nobody is ma'soom. But this person is such that he doesn't leave any sin. He made a mistake somewhere. By chance he slipped up. He cannot rest until he has sincerely repented. Until he has shed tears of remorse and regret. Until he has begged Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness. Until he has washed his heart with the tears of Tawbah. He can't rest till then. So as a result, no, nothing remains of him. So he's constantly washing out that heart. Doesn't mean he becomes masoom, but he doesn't ever leave any dirt and filth in his heart. So now one is, la ithma alayhi, wa la baghya, no zulm, no oppression of any sort, not oppressing anybody, not oppressing anybody outside, not oppressing anybody inside. Inside where? Inside our own homes. Whoever, sometimes is one spouse to the other, vice versa, or sometimes, Allah forbid, children are oppressing parents. And sometimes parents are oppressing children too. So much of zulm. But the issue is that sometimes we don't even realize what we are committing is zulm. Sometimes with our words, sometimes with our actions. So la baghya, no zulm. And then in all the other spheres of life, with our employees, with whoever it might be, person known to us, some stranger, so I'll be driving on the road, sometimes how we drive, it becomes zulm on the next person. But that person now, we don't even know who he is, he'll just keep quiet and go away. We can't even ask his forgiveness, we don't know where he's gone to, who he was also. But now how we conducted ourselves on the road, that road rage and whatever else, and we put somebody in takleef, that's zulm. But it doesn't cross our mind. So la ithma fihi wa la baghya, wa la ghilla wa la hasada. There's no malice in his heart, and there's no jealousy in his heart. There's no malice, there's no jealousy. Does it mean that he's immune to these diseases? Nobody can ever claim to be immune from anything. Nobody is immune from anything. But if a person, for example, now there's one glass, it's kept somewhere, after a while, dust settles into anything, So now that glass got slightly dusty, he rinsed it. How long it took him to rinse it? Just one, in 1 second, 2-3 seconds, he just rinsed it. It's clean as ever. It was bright, shining, then that little dust settled on it, and one slight rinse and it's clean as ever. So, again after a while, after a few hours, again some little dust came, and again one rinse and it's gone. Now somebody leaves it there, and then now 1 day, 2 days, and especially now it's close to the coast, that grimy layers start coming upon that utensil, that glass, or whatever it might be. So now first that bright and sparkling glass, and if the light was on, you could actually see that thing shining. And now it's standing there for 2-3 days, 1 week, 2 weeks, and now those layers of grime have come upon it. Now forget seeing any shine on it. You sometimes can't even see what color it was, or that it was crystal clear. And now to wash it, it's not coming out. It's now over 1 year now that this grime was sitting in here. And layers of grime. Now you've got to take something very, very rough to scrape it, in the process you scrape the glass itself. Sometimes you damaged it too. Why? Because that layers and layers of grime just settled and settled, and nothing was done to wash it. So now this person is not immune from anything. But every time some dust from the whispers of shaitan, some waswasa, some malice got blown into his heart, but immediately he's cleaning that glass, that heart. Immediately he's removing all this dirt and filth in the various manners and ways in which this has to be removed, which the mashayikh teach us, by making dua, by making various amal, making dua for the people we feel these kind of negative feelings towards, making salam to them, and various other amal that have to be done. He's making sure this gets clean all the time. Can we imagine in the Quran Sharif, Allah Ta'ala speaks about this, that this believers, Allah Ta'ala speaks about the Ansar first, وَالَّذِينَ تَبَوَّأُوا الدَّارَ وَالْإِيمَانَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ. And then further Allah Ta'ala says, وَالَّذِينَ جَاءُوا مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ. Those who come after them, after the Sahaba, etc. What is their condition? The pious servants of Allah Ta'ala who came thereafter. وَالَّذِينَ جَاءُوا مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا وَلِإِخْوَانِنَا الَّذِينَ سَبَقُونَا بِالْإِيمَانِ. Allah forgive us. Forgive those who preceded us with iman. And then, وَلَا تَجْعَلْ فِي قُلُوبِنَا غِلًّا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. They make this dua all the time. Ya Allah, don't ever let any malice remain in my heart for any believer. وَلَا تَجْعَلْ فِي قُلُوبِنَا غِلًّا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. There should never be any malice in my heart for any believer. Now the person who constantly keeps making dua, keeps cleaning out, so this dust comes from time to time. This dust, when the winds blow, sometimes all kinds of things fly around. So shaitan sometimes causes this wind to blow of evil, what not settles in the heart, but the person who's conscious keeps cleaning it. But the person doesn't bother to clean it, then gradually there's layers and layers of grime, of malice, of jealousy, of all the evils. It starts becoming the nature of the person. Then jealousy seeps into that heart. Malice seeps into that heart. And then the slightest thing is looked for to display that malice. The slightest thing will trigger that jealousy. Because that whole heart has now become seeped in it. It has permeated the crevices of the heart. Now that jealousy, that malice, and now when a society is filled with hearts of malice, when a home is filled with hearts of malice, when a family is filled with hearts of malice, when a business or a workplace is filled with hearts of malice, whichever space people have to interact with each other, then is that going to be a good place to be? Is that going to be somewhere that one feels comfortable being there? Is that going to be a means of, a place of happiness for anybody? Or is that going to be more, something more can be likened to a jungle where all kinds of animals live? Allah Ta'ala wants us, his heart, to be clean. Allah Ta'ala is teaching us, look, these people make this dua. Allah Ta'ala is telling us, this is the quality of the Jannatis. Can we imagine the Jannatis? People read Jannat. What's left thereafter? Everything has been achieved. That is the ultimate now, that a person finally makes it to Jannat. Because the person who's entered Jannat will never leave. He'll be there forever. So Allah Ta'ala is saying, subhanallah, what tremendous people these are that they reach Jannat. Allah Ta'ala speaks about these people of Jannat. وَنَزَعْنَا مَا فِي صُدُورِهِمْ مِنْ غِلٍّ إِخْوَانًا عَلَىٰ سُرُرٍ مُتَقَابِلِينَ. Who are these Jannatis? People whose hearts now will be free of every kind of malice. And they will be reclining on couches opposite each other. وَنَزَعْنَا مَا فِي صُدُورِهِمْ مِنْ غِلٍّ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهِمُ الْأَنْهَارِ. These rivers flowing beneath them. But Allah Ta'ala is highlighting before that what? Why they got all this? Their hearts were clean besides of shirk, which is obviously the most important thing. And all the various aspects that they also, mashallah, had. The highlight Allah is giving, their hearts were clean of malice and dirt and filth for anybody. This is what Allah Ta'ala loves. On occasion, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says to the Sahaba, he's sitting with them. He says to them that just now somebody will pass who is a person of Jannat. Now can we imagine what must have gone through the hearts and minds of Sahaba? That who is saying it? The Sahibe Wahi, the recipient of Wahi, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is saying it. There can't be a shadow of doubt in this. If somebody says that that mountain moved, we can believe that. But if somebody says there's a doubt in what Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, that is totally baseless. We can never believe that. What Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said is 100%, 1 million percent correct. So now this was an endorsement. This person is a Jannati walking on earth still. And he's got the endorsement of Jannat. So they all were very eager now. Who is this person? Suddenly one person comes. Tala'a rajulun min al-ansar. One person among the Ansar, he passes. And how such a simple person. Tantufu lihyatuhu min wadu'ihi. The water of his wuzu is still dripping from his beard. قَدْ عَلَّقَنَ عَلَيْهِ بِيَدِهِ الشِّمَالِ. His shoes are in his left hand, because that's the adab. If a person is carrying his shoes, carry with the left hand. Carrying the Quran Sharif with the right hand. In any case, he's holding his shoes. Such a simple, down-to-earth person. And he passed. He doesn't know what went on here. He happened to be just going past somewhere. But before he came, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave this glad tidings. The second day Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says again, suddenly, person of Jannat is going to pass just now. Sahaba look, again the same person, he passes. Third day the same thing happens. 3 days in a row when the same thing happened, Hazrat Abdullah bin Amr ibn As radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he woke up and went and followed the person. And then he goes and he talks to him, and he says, now he's making one, just some excuse to now get further into it. This person, 3 days in a row, he's getting the endorsement of Jannat. This person is somebody very special. So now, in order so that I can know what is the speciality, and I can be the first person to put it for the news. They didn't have WhatsApp at that time, they didn't have WhatsApp and any social media. Maybe I can go around talking to him. I found out, because that's the whole story nowadays. I must be the first person to put it on the group, and I must be the first person to break the news, breaking news. So I'm the person who's breaking news. But that breaking news is breaking us, because all the time we caught up in that news. So these are things to all shun. And especially now, this Mubarak month of Ramadan, all these groups and all these things, ungroup from it. Send everybody a nice message. Inshallah, we'll communicate with you after Ramadan and off the group. All these just idle chat groups and this group and that group and news group and whatever group. And even family groups, which are just after Ramadan now. Because now somebody will feel offended if you don't write something. And he'll feel that maybe you'll feel offended if he doesn't write something. So now that chakkar will carry on. So now in order to think that he's appeasing you, he'll write something. And you thinking that he might be feel offended if I don't respond to this, so you're going to try to, so to say, appease him. In the process, shaitan got appeased, because both people's time got wasted. So simple thing beforehand, one simple message, that as of now, till after Ramadan, I'm out of from all these things. Inshallah, if there's a need for it, to be back on tweet to start off with, after Ramadan. Otherwise, generally, these things are more harmful than good. Somebody uses it in the right way, it has its benefits as well. But by and large, so many times more problems than good come out of it. So in any case, this person now, he didn't have this objective. He wanted to see what's the special aspect in this person's life. So I can emulate it. I can emulate it and I too can become a person of Jannat. So he made one excuse, you know what, I've got a little issue with my father, can I come and just spend some time with you, and I don't want to go home for a few days. Can I come and just spend a few nights with you? He said, by all means, welcome. Very simple life they had, no takalluf. No, you can come. So he went and he stayed 3 nights with him. The whole object of that was that outside we see this person, but he must be doing something unique indoors. So if I go and spend the time with him indoors, I'll get to see what he does. So he went and spent 3 nights with him. This person laid down to, maybe he made some ibadat little of the night and he slept away like everybody else would do. And then he didn't do anything special and extraordinary compared to everybody else. What everybody else would do, he did. And then afterwards, finally, he came to the masjid. And so one night, 2 nights, 3 nights, so Abdullah bin Amr ibn As says, it was like I almost started ahqira amalahu. I started almost looking down upon his act. This person got nothing special about him. What's in there? Any case, when the 3 nights finished off, and he decided now I'd rather go, he told him the whole story. Look, there was nothing wrong. I had no issue. I merely came to see what you do. But meaning I didn't see anything special. I didn't see anything extraordinary. So Sahabi says to him, Ma huwa illa ma ra'ayt. I only have that much. What you saw, that's it. Nothing beyond that. What you saw, that's it. So he turned around to leave. As he left, he called him again. He says to him, Ma huwa illa ma ra'ayt. What you saw, that's it. But there's something beyond that. Apart from that, غَيْرَ أَنِّي لَا أَجِدُ فِي قَلْبِي غِشًّا لِأَحَدٍ مِّنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. But I don't have any malice in my heart for any Muslim. And وَلَا أَحْسُدُ أَحَدًا عَلَىٰ خَيْرٍ أَعْتَاهُ اللَّهُ إِيَّاهُ. And I don't have any jealousy for anybody upon the good Allah Ta'ala has blessed him. Abdullah bin Amr ibn Asad says to him that this is هَذِهِ الَّتِي بَلَغَتْ بِكَ. This has taken you to that position. Meaning you got all your basics in place, obviously. But this special quality, that your heart is so clean, that you don't have an iota of malice and an iota of jealousy, this is what has taken you to that peak. Now the month of Ramadan is on our doorstep. Sha'ban came to give us this wake-up call and to tell us to clean up the heart. Otherwise, such a deprivation. To clean up and to be having a clean heart. Dunya is dunya. All kinds of things happen in dunya. But the Sahaba Ikram, the Salaf Salihin, they taught us how a person, what kind of heart he should have. There's so many incidents, time is already running out. The very famous incident about one battle, a battle took place on both sides with Sahaba. Because both sides, they had a certain view regarding a matter. Each side, in the light of their understanding of Quran and Sunnah, felt this is the right thing to do, and the other party felt differently, but both were deriving what they came to in the light of knowledge, not just something haphazard. So it came to a point of where there was a battle. But one Sahabi, Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala an, he was on one side, but when there used to be a lull and it's time to eat, he would cross the lines and go eat on the other side. And after that he would come back also. Now somebody observed this several times, and then eventually somebody asked him that this is strange that you are on this end in terms of you support this party, but you go and eat on that side. So his response, he says, I believe that they are on the correct viewpoint. Their stance is correct. So therefore I'm supporting this one. As far as that side, the food is better on that side. So I go and eat there. But now the big question is, nobody on that side stopped him from eating. You coming to eat with us? What's your problem? You standing on the other side, but you coming to eat with us. Where you saw something like this happen in the world? In that world it happened. In our world we'll say, where you saw something like this happen in the world? Because we don't have the eyes to see it. We didn't see it in this world. In that world they saw it. But nobody on that end stopped him. And nobody on this end also, besides one person out of curiosity now, nobody else made an issue of it also. It seemed like maybe you're a spy, man. You eat with them and you come this side, they feeding you, you come and taking news from Yangwei. Nobody said that also. The hearts were so clean. Even in the times of war, their hearts were cleaner than our hearts in the time of peace. If they were at war with each other, it was on the point of haqq, not on the point of nafs. And even in our peace, there's so much of nafs involved. Clean hearts. And dunya is dunya. But the person who's got his focus towards akhirat and Ramadan, he wants to gain the maximum. So if you find people had hearts, if you look into the life of Rasulullah, he set this pattern, obviously. Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha asked Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, did a time more severe than Uhud come upon you? An occasion, an incident more severe than Uhud. Uhud, 70 sahaba martyred. Can we imagine? Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam seeing 70 sahaba janaza and martyred. Great, great sahaba. And then he himself was injured and so many difficulties came upon. 70 were injured. It was a very severe day. Hazrat Aisha is asking something even more severe. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, yes, more severe, the well-known incident of Taif. There's no time to go into all the details of Taif. And then what happened? Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam finally leaves. What would happen and how he was treated and how he was stoned and jeered and mocked at. And now when finally the option is given to him, the angel deputed over the mountains, لَوْ شِئْتَ أَنْ أُطْبِقَ عَلَيْهِمُ الْأَخْشَبَيْنِ. If you want, I will just make these two mountains just close on upon them and crush them in between. I'll do it. You just give the command. It's your choice. You just give the instruction and it's done. But Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's response, بَلْ أَرْجُوْ أَنْ يُخْرِجَ اللَّهُ مِنْ أَصْلَابِهِمْ مَنْ يَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَحْدَهُ وَلَا يَشْرِكُ بِهِ شَيْئًا. I have hope. Leave them. Don't crush them. I have hope that in their progeny people will come who will worship Allah alone. Now what heart was this? After this treatment fresh, the body is still oozing with those wounds. And in the midst of that pain, in the midst of that difficulty, in every kind of pain, the most excruciating physical pain, emotional pain, imagine putting the street urchins to now jeer and mock. Person is walking and everybody is mocking and jeering. Can we imagine the scene? Every kind of pain, we talk about emotional abuse and whatever abuse, the peak of everything. And all that is not 6 months later now that all this is happening. Not 6 years later that this option is being put forward. Everything is still fresh. Those wounds are still oozing. That pain is still right there. And the option is being given to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But the compassion for them and for the progenies to come till Qiyamah. Heart. Allah ta'ala loves this heart. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullah alayhi, he spoke the truth regarding some aspect. Meaning he openly declared what is the correct viewpoint and the masla of deen. In one issue. But the ruler of the time, he was inclined to the opposite, which was wrong. No need to get into that detail. So there was some matter. Some people were pushing some wrong belief regarding it. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullah alayhi fearlessly expressed what is the correct belief in that regard. Now that opposed the ruler of the time, Mu'tasim Billah. So he was imprisoned. And he was imprisoned and now he was being forced to change his view. But he said, no, I can't do that. What is the haqq? I go to say it. So he used to be lashed in prison. He used to be lashed so severely that it is stated that if an elephant had to be lashed in that manner, that elephant won't bathe. A huge animal like an elephant, so strong. But if that elephant had to be lashed, it won't bathe. So now we'll say, but how the insan then was able to undertake it? If the elephant couldn't have borne it, that was something that ruhani strength also became the strength in it. Nevertheless, eventually that Khalifa, he passed away and then the next person came in. He nevertheless changed the situation. He had Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal released. But now those wounds were so deep and so, when his wounds used to be treated, now like sometimes, for example, some ointment has to be put into a wound. Now sometimes it stings. That's medicine, it has to be put in there, but it stings. Something in the eye, you put some medication, it stings. So now when that ointment or whatever medication used to be put in that wound, Now that wound came through because of who? Because of that Mu'tasim Billah. That Khalifa who had imprisoned him, and he was lashed because of that person's zulm. Now there's so many wounds, and every time now he has to be now treated by putting that medicine. Every time that medicine was put into that wound, and it stung him, what came from his tongue? Allahumma ghfir li Mu'tasim. Allahumma ghfir li Mu'tasim. Ya Allah, forgive Mu'tasim. Ya Allah, forgive Mu'tasim. Subhanallah, what hearts. So this is what we are being given now. This is a time to really clean up. Clean up our hearts. Clean up our hearts for Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Remove all the dirt, the filth, the malice. And have a clean heart. Keep a clean heart. To keep a clean heart, it requires ikhlas. A person who has ikhlas, and to the extent he develops that ikhlas, that heart will stay clean, inshallah. Because now he's all the time conscious. What I'm saying, is it for nafs or for Allah ta'ala? What am I saying? Is it just to appease myself? Or am I really doing it because this will please Allah ta'ala? And then if he'll keep quiet, one is if he says something, he'll say it before he says it, he'll think. And then if he'll keep quiet also, he'll keep quiet in a way that will please Allah ta'ala. Some people's keeping quiet is more of a problem than they're speaking also. Because they keep quiet, mashallah, in such a way. One person recently, he discussed his matter. He says, no, that, you know, sometimes things go, you know, I don't say anything, I just keep quiet. So, mashallah, he said it in such a way, you felt so nice about it. This was what. So just in passing, I happened to ask him, but for how long you keep quiet? Maybe about 3-4 days, 5 days. How often this happens in a month? Maybe about 3-4 times a month. So by the few days of the month that got left, is like somebody, you know, the whole month he's at home, then 3 days a month he goes out in Jamaat or something. So that's how it's yours. So that's not the keeping quiet that Allah Ta'ala is pleased with. That keeping quiet is also zulm. Because that keeping quiet is not to stay away from trouble. That keeping quiet is punishment. That keeping quiet is trying to inflict harm. Allah is not pleased with that. That's not coming from a clean heart. The keeping quiet that comes from a clean heart is while the person is being abused and he keeps quiet. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh, he's walking and somebody is walking alongside him and he's all kinds of vulgarity and evil and he's cursing him and swearing him and whatever. And eventually they come to a point, Imam Sahib says, look, this is my house, I'm going to be turning in now. So I'll stand here, if there's something left, you rather say it, because then I'm gone in, you won't get the chance. He kept quiet, he didn't say anything. That keeping quiet was for Allah Ta'ala. And that keeping quiet was a kamal, an achievement. Because that keeping quiet was purely to keep the nafs at bay. That was a kamal. But now that comes from a clean heart. That is the heart. That's the heart we have to learn. That's the heart we have to develop. This is a heart that the month of Shaban has come to teach us. That the person who's deprived of the great blessings of the 15th of Shaban, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the one hadith says that Allah Ta'ala's special mercies descend. Allah Ta'ala forgives so many numerous people. And then in one hadith, illa li mushrikin aw mushahinin. Person who commits shirk, mushahin. Person who harbors malice. Then another hadith, aw qati'u rahimin. Person who severs family ties, family relationships. Aqun li walidayhi. Person who's disobedient to his parents. All these things stem from a dirty heart. Allah Ta'ala wants our hearts to be clean, wants our hearts to be shining and bright. Like we want everything else to be clean, we want to shine everything else. But more important than that is our heart, to shine our heart, to clean our heart. So while all the things that we are supposed to do in terms of our ibadat, all this is also very important. Month of Ramadan, all this is very important. But the sifat of the Ahlul Jannah, as we understood from the one hadith, that the person didn't have any malice in his heart, any jealousy in his heart, this took him to Jannah. And these small things, he must have a heart to overlook. There's something more intense, something needs to be addressed, we address it in a dignified manner. We address it in a way that does not cross the limits of deen, does not create more problems. We address it in a way that reduces the problem, that resolves the issue. Sometimes there is a problem. Somebody created a problem. So the problem definitely is there. But the way we go about trying to resolve the problem, that we multiply it 10 times. That doesn't help. So to address the problem in a way that reduces the problem. This dunya is not going to come with us. All the things, that position and that status of dunya, is not going to come with us. What's going to come with us? لَا يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالُ وَلَا بَنُونَ إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. That clean and pure heart, that is going to be of benefit to us on the day of Qiyamah. May Allah tabarak wa ta'ala grant me and all of us the tawfiq. Allah ta'ala cleanse our hearts out and purify it from all the dirt and filth of every kind. And Allah ta'ala make us among His loyal and obedient servants and bless us with every khair and barakat. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. We took much time today. We'll just make dua inshaAllah. Allahumma laka alhamdu kulluhu wa laka shukr kulluhu. Allahumma la nuhsi thana'an alayk anta kama athnayt ala nafsik. جزا الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله اللهم افتح لنا بالخير واختم لنا بالخير وجعل عواقب أمورنا بالخير بيدك الخير إنك على كل شيء قدير ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين وجعلنا للمتقين إماما ربنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار ربنا وآتنا ما وعدتنا على رسلك ولا تخزنا يوم القيامة ولا تخزنا يوم القيامة ولا تخزنا يوم القيامة إنك لا تخلف الميعاد اللهم ثبتنا على الإيمان وأمتنا على الإيمان واحشرنا يوم القيامة مع الإيمان يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك يا مصرف القلوب صرف قلوبنا على طاعتك اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا يا مولانا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا محمد وآله وصحبه أجمعين والحمد لله.